Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Stop abusing her sometimes. trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
All Earth were king, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Chances are you probably shouldn't want to join in on today's chat. I just probably shouldn't even be doing this show to begin with today. So I just got so much to say, but just... I'm at a loss for words, man. You know, sometimes life throws these curveballs at you and there's just really nothing you can do about it. You know, a long time ago, I wrote a story about a dog. And my dog named Sammy. I put the story out there trying to tell everybody what that dog meant to me. I spent his last 2 days on earth with him. No matter what, he was a loyal dog and he just kind of wanted to stay there. He just fought and fought and fought. He didn't want to go. He wanted to stay there. He didn't want to leave me. You know, I wasn't probably the best caretaker in the world. That dog still loved me unconditionally. And he sat by my side and I sat by his side down by the creek. For 2 days we sat down there and I tried to nurse him back to health and let him know how much I loved him and all that. And it was all for naught, you know. He finally slipped on into the afterlife, wherever that is. And so I wrote up this heartwarming story and I posted it out there on Facebook and posted it out on all my social media networks to share this story about Sammy. And I watched as that message just kind of went downstream in the vast flood of information that is this internet, the World Wide Web. I watched as this message that I got out there to kind of tell people what it was all about, what I was feeling. I mean, and to kind of give my words out to my friend Sammy, my dog. And I sit here, you know, weekend after weekend, and I do the Mad Science Show on Saturdays, and I do the Knights of the Round Table on Sundays, and the whole concept is to throw a positive pebble in the pond to try to do something good for the world. But every so often, you know, life throws you that curveball, takes the wind out of your sails. Hey, I guess today's one of those days, and I probably shouldn't be doing a radio show today. I probably should just go away. You know, I made a post over there on Facebook. I said I have so much to say, but yet I'm at a loss for words. All I want to do right now is lay down and cry. It's all broken, and I can't fix it. Love one another with all your heart. It's all I can manage to say. I have a radio show to do in 30 minutes, finding the words to say to the world. Not sure I have what it takes anymore. I posted out there for the world, my family, and all my friends to see and hear. I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I just don't know what's the point. I feel like sometimes that I'm preaching to the choir for most parts, and I feel like that it's such an incredible mess that it's overwhelming. There is no way that I can do anything to fix it. You know, I've always been trying to be a fixer all my life, a peacemaker. Good book said, blessed be the peacemakers, for the meek shall inherit the earth. There's so many people out there with so many stories and so many, you know, lives to talk about and tragedies and triumphs. The world is full of stories. I can drive down the road and I can look off the side of the road and I can see an old house. And I can visualize that old house, where that old house has been and who lived in there. And the stories that they must have had to tell. You know, and I see, when I see history or pictures, even old movies or something like that, I think about the people that made those stories. Sitting here looking at a picture of my grandfather standing next to two of his army buddies, in all in their uniforms. He served in World War I. I'm sitting here in front of a copy of the United States Constitution that my wife bought for me, I believe, for Christmas one year, because she knew I was a patriot. Got a nifty little eagle statue that says "In God We Trust" sitting right next to the Holy Bible. And so it kind of gives you a little bit of brief idea of the things that I believe in. I'm also in front of that whole deal. I'm seeing a picture of me and my wife and my grandson on Grandparents Day 2014. Right next to that's a picture of my boy, Mark. You know, this old heart of mine is a huge heart. It's full of love. It just wants to love. That's all I want to do, is just love. That's just the way I was when I was a kid, and it's the way I am now. It's probably the way I'm going to die. I see a lot of things going on in the mainstream media, and I see a lot of things going on in the alternative media, and I watch people's lives, and I hear their stories, and I see their trials and tribulations, and I wish that I could do something to make it all better for everybody. You go to a family get together and somebody's trying to fight, I'm the guy that's over there trying to make peace and trying to get everybody to love one another. Can't we all just get along? That kind of stuff. Yeah, sometimes life just don't make no doggone sense. You know, there's so many families out there. So many possibilities with all those families. So many words that could have been said to make things better. So many things that could have been done. So many choices would have made a difference in somebody's life. Sure, I know it sounds like I'm ranting, and I probably am. I kind of do that a lot because I get passionate about certain things. This year, within the last day, my family took another loss. And I had a choice. I gotta either take it like a man and jump up and be the strong one, help everybody get through the whole mess, or I got to just lay down and cry. I'm really at a loss. I got so much that I could say to the world, but maybe I shouldn't even be saying anything. Maybe I should just shut up, because I don't know, you know. I just don't know whether or not it's even my place to say. You go out there and you look around and you see what's going on in this world. You watch people's stories and their trials and tribulations, and There's people out in the world that are so much worse off than probably you yourself. I seen a picture of my cousin Katie and my cousin Amy. Copied it and put it on my computer here. And that picture was it was attached to a story. It's attached to a message. Amy was telling everybody about how she lost her sister. I couldn't look at that picture without crying. Because I watched both of these kids grow up. Got a lot of stories all the way back from the time that they were little. I watched them. Watched them all the way through their trade school years, to their teen years, to their adult years. They got a wonderful mom and dad and brother. They got all around a wonderful family. Just your average family, you know, with their own problems, trials, and tribulations. But nonetheless, they got a family. Katie lost her battle with cancer. And I shouldn't do this radio show today, but then again, I just think I should. I'm kind of at a loss. I'm going to don't know whether I'm coming or going today. I'm only 50 years old. That's not old compared to some people out there. When you tell them that, I feel like I'm old. They look at me crazy. Well, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80, or whatever. But I feel old. Old enough to know that you shouldn't ever have to put your kids in the grave before yourself. My Uncle Larry, who I love so incredibly much, got all the respect in the world for him. And my Aunt Jackie, I can't even visualize. I mean, I can visualize, but I can't even get a grip on what they're going through. Katie left some children home behind, some beautiful children and a husband. I don't know if I'll upload this podcast to the Auto DJ because I don't know if I can withstand hearing it again. All I can say to people out there, you gotta get your priorities straight. You gotta find a way to love each other. You gotta find a way to fix things in this world. You gotta take and not expect and take things for granted on a daily basis. Some of the problems that you think are so huge, that are so much, it's just that it all pales in comparison to what's really going on in this world. You know, the good book says is in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence. and then men's hearts would fail them for the fear of what is to come. Talks about how people would beg for death and it would elude them. I don't ever want to see things come down like that. I sure as heck don't like to see anybody suffering. I can tell you because I knew a lot of people in my life. But there are a whole lot of good people in this world that are being hurt by a few bad people in this world. Honestly believe there was a cure for the disease that took my cousin. And unfortunately, she wasn't the first. My grandfather, my grandmother, my cousin Mary, in depression, took a couple of my other family members. You know, I'm just tired of putting. I'm tired of burying people. I'm tired of burying people. I'm tired of. I'd been the pallbearer at so many funerals, and I carried so many of my family members to the grave. And I get out here, and I try to think I'm going to make the world a better place, and for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir and spinning my wheels in the mud because it's. It's just too big. I ain't got the right words to say anymore. I don't know if I ever even had the right words to say to begin with. But I gave it a shot because of those kids that I've talked about, the families and the friends. I want to make this world a better place. You know, freedom and justice and peace and love for all kind of thing. I just don't know how. I'm watching all the people on Facebook. I'm watching the messages go by. I'm watching people trying to console each other for their loss. Friends, family. And each and every one of them got a story to tell. They're all people, man. I feel like every single individual story out there is so important. I feel like I want to hear them all. I want to be there with them and help them through their trials and tribulations. I want to be there to laugh with them and cry, and I just want to be part of their life. Let them know that they're important. You know, I'm somebody, but I'm nobody. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be rich. I just want to look out there in this world, and I want to see something different than what I'm seeing today. I want to see some progress towards a better future for everybody. I want peace, hope, and love for the world. You know, if you go back and you look at the stories, if you actually follow back Katie's story and Amy and my uncle and my aunt, you'll find out how good of people they really are. I was trying to help somebody else out. I was trying to do something good. That's the way a lot of my family are. Yeah, I just want to put a positive out there in the world. My mom gave me the heart that I got today. She made me the person that I am. Minus the all the rowdy part. That was my own doing. That was my own little part of the rebel. This message, along with the message, other messages, all the podcasts and all the things that have ever said or done on this, it'll just someday they'll be down in the stream. It's like that story about my dog Sammy. Had a flood on by. There's people out there in this world pouring their hearts out, wanting to be heard. There's so many people out there reaching their hands out for somebody to pull them to safety. And if I had my way about it, there'd be hands in every direction. We got to get this world to listen. We got to get this world to do something other than what it's doing. Ain't no reason for all this sickness. Ain't no reason for all the fighting and the fussing and the wars. I'm just one man. There ain't no way I can clean this mess up by myself. Somebody once told me that it wasn't my burden to bear, it wasn't my cross to bear. But I guess I disagreed enough that I kept on going. Because if I look out there and don't see those kids' face, I see my family. I want them to live in peace, and if the boogeyman's coming to get them, I gotta trip the boogeyman up before he gets them. I gotta stop it before it starts. I don't just see faces when I look into the eyes of my family. I see their entire life flash before my eyes every single time I look at one of my family members. All the memories come flooding back. I think about how lucky I am just to even have them around. Time I see my Uncle Larry, I think about all our fishing trips and my Aunt Jackie and my Uncle Lee and Sue Ann and Mom and Joe. And I sit here and name off all my family members and even tell you the list of importance. They're all important to me, but in some ways some of them stick out more than others. I don't know how to fix this world, people. All I know is that it's got to be done. I'm going to play a song. For some reason, one of my cousins, who is no longer with us, liked this song. Might play a couple more songs and catch my breath and see whether or not I even want to go on with this. I don't even know Katie's favorite song. I know that my heart goes out to her family. My heart goes out to the world. My heart goes out to your family. I just want to send a big bundle of love your direction. I don't care where you're at. Well, we're all sitting down here in the trenches of life trying to basically bomb the, or be, dodge the bombs of whatever's coming our way. I know there's so many people out there that want a better world, and I know that if we could only just get all these people together, we could actually make it so. That's why I gotta keep my faith in the higher power, people. I know you may be discouraged and may not believe in God. But I personally, I gotta keep my faith because it's the only thing that keeps me going. I gotta believe it somehow. Because I don't know how a man could feel like this for very long. I just don't know. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Apologize for the rant. To my cousin Katie, I love you, wherever you're at. David and all my family members that are no longer here with us. I love y'all. I love my family that's still here. My heart wants to fix the world, but my brain just doesn't know how.
Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Times
as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my Mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my Mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story Mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only born, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me, made just for me.
Purple rain. true. You say you want a leader, but you can't seem to make up your mind. I think you better close and let me guide you to the purple rain.
Thank you. that I'll answer when I'm with you. Even though there may be time, it seems I'm far away. Never wonder where I am, 'cause I am always by your side.
everybody. It's old King Shazuz the Terrible here. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at ShazuzRadio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.ShazuzRadio.com/superchat.html. I'd like to apologize for the way that this show started off. You know, I don't always handle bad news in a good way, but got a couple really good friends with me. It's going to help me try to sort all this stuff out. But I just want everybody to take away from today's show something that I think it's probably already in every person's heart out there. It's like 9 billion people on this planet, and every one of them's got a story to tell, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And you know, there's just so much that I keep continuously saying on this show that could be done to make this world a better place. There's so many ways that we could help one another and, you know, basically be able to get through this thing. I always say that life is like wrestling a cactus. It's painful. You know, and there might be other better ways to explain it, you know. And there might be some pretty crude ways to explain it as well, but nonetheless,
I could do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, buddy.
Bow mouth even.
But
I wouldn't.
The thing is, folks, as bad as my life sometimes appears to me, and as bad as your life appears to be to you, and all the struggles and trials and tribulations you have to face on a daily basis, it's you know, somebody behind you giving you the pep talk. You can do it, you know. You got to keep going. When you get knocked down, you got to get back up again, and so on and so forth. It's not always as easy as said as done for the actual person who's actually living it, you know. And there's a lot of people out there going through a lot of terrible stuff, and by God, I wish I could make it better for all of them, because I got enough love in my heart for everyone on this planet. As crazy as that sounds, you know, it's just the way that my mom raised me. I think my mom, she's always thinking she always did a terrible job by me, and I tell her, I said, Mom, you know, I got all the love in my heart in this world because of you, not because of, you know, craziness or whatever. But a lot of good people in this world going through a lot of things. You guys want to add Justin to the call there for me, please? Hopefully, okay. He understands what it is I'm trying to do here. Anyway, basically,
I can't add him. He still got me blocked.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm sorry.
So you got me.
Anyway, I'm wanting to reach out to the people of this world. That's why I built ShazuzRadio.com, to put the platform and microphone out there. There's so many things that need to be addressed, and one of which is our healthcare system. You know, anytime you put anything in the hands of the government, not in the hands of the people, you get what you get. That's all there is to it. You know, before I go too off in another doggone rant, Steve off air was telling me a little story, and I want you guys to hear it, because I got something to say about it when he's done with this story, and the importance of each and every one of these stories out there for each and every individual. You know, there's so much.
Well, Shaziz, let me start at the beginning. About 15 years ago, a friend of mine was married to a Filipino woman who was doing a degree in IT, and she was looking for kind of people that were working with associated databases, and just to get a bit of feedback and, you know, an understanding from somebody that worked in the industry to kind of help her out with her studies. And the guy put her on to me, and over the last 15 years we've been kind of chatting away, and, you know, I've thrown a lot of my mad science ideas at her, and a couple of them she's laughed at, and a couple of them she's actually been quite interested in. This is a professor of electrical engineering in the Philippines who's known to our group. I mean, she kind of just sits in the background, but every now and again, if I need some help, she's always there for me, so I appreciate that. And a couple of weeks ago, I went to visit a place called Tacloban. It's in eastern Visayas in the Philippines. A lot of people might not understand it or might not remember it, but in 2013, I think it was December the 8th, Hurricane Yolanda or in American speak, high-end, because they like to name things because they're centered in the universe, came bowling through at 60 kilometers an hour with a 20-foot tidal surge and killed about 10,000 people in 1 hour.
Man.
It picked up massive cargo ships and dropped them on top of people that lived in tin shacks. Four of them. I mean, the amount of death and destruction that was caused on an up-and-coming Asian town in kind of a provincial area, but it was kind of getting there. You know, it had all the modern technologies of the 21st century, and that was pretty much wiped out in a couple of hours. But a couple of weeks ago, I was there, and I walked from the city centre to the hotel I was staying in, which was about 4 kilometres. And I met people every step of the way, because there's not a lot of Western Europeans there. And people say, "Oh, how are you doing? What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I came to have a look. You know, I want to understand the culture, and I want to understand the environment, because maybe I'd like to live here." Because to be perfectly honest, in the European and Western world, I cannot build a fish farm because of the legislation and regulations that are not designed to protect people in general, but to protect the business interests of what I would personally call elite groups. Just go and look at the fish health and safety regulations promoted by the EU. It's a 2006 documentation, which means that the chairman of a quasi-autonomous non-governmental organisation who nobody's elected and nobody can remove has been appointed by the government to appoint authorised officers that can enter your home. They can confiscate any equipment, documents, materials, your fish, everything of an infrastructure that you have built yourself, because not that they have evidence, but because they can, because they think in the past, present or future you may put fish health at risk. Well, believe me, if I'm building a fish farm in a Catholic country, I'm going to be eating one every Friday, so they will be at risk. But in a country like the Philippines, aquaponics are highly promoted to the point where the government has even set up hatcheries specifically designed to provide fish for people's backyard aquaponic systems so they can have some level of food security. And when I read that and I spoke to a couple of people in the area, and they said, "Oh yeah, we're really interested in it, why don't you come and build a system?" I'm not going there because I'm part of some NGO group that's into humanitarian issues. I'm going there because people invited me. And you know why? Because people that can make a wind turbine out of a car, old car alternator, that can create solar panels out of titanium oxide powder and raspberry juice are welcome.
Sounds like my kind of place, man.
Hey, it's not perfect. It's got its corruption. It's got its problems. But if you want to actually do something constructive, they are begging for people to come and help them.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that are out there trying to raise money for various charities and trying to do things, trying to do a lot of positive influence for the world. And, you know, they say you got to choose your battles. You got to choose wisely, because it's a vast war when it comes to trying to make the world a better place. You know, there's all kinds of, I mean, take your pick, pick your poison, whatever. You know, it's just, I know all these people that I've mentioned on this show, my cousin, I know their hearts and I know the things that they've done in their life trying to make things better, and their families and their struggles and their trials and tribulations. And I know that there's other people in this world that have been through so much, and the miracle of them surviving, you know, through some of the things like you was telling me off air there, You know, it just...
She says, I walked 4 kilometres and I must have drunk about 15 cups of tea.
Yeah, it was so
because every place I walked past, they were kind of looking for my family story. You know, are you married? Have you got children? You know, just nice people. And the fact that I'd actually go into a tin shack and sit there with a family and have a cup of tea and discuss banal things. You know, I mean, I was asking them if they'd heard about the 1 litre light bulb. And they said, what's that? I said, well, you've got a 60 watt electrical light bulb in your ceiling now. Why don't you cut a hole in the roof, put a 1 litre bottle full of water and bleach in it, and that will be the equivalent of a 60 watt light bulb. And they said, who invented that? And I said, you guys did. In Manila. The same environment I'm sitting in now, they're retrofitting a lot of these structures to supply natural sunlight. I mean, it's not much good in the dark, but certainly during the day, you don't have to pay for electricity.
Yeah, you can stay in the shade and have a little bit of light at the same time.
I mean, I don't even have a smartphone. I can't get access to the internet on my mobile phone because the technology on it is almost as old as I am. But I tell you what, it doesn't break if you drop it. But I mean, the guys I'm talking to, they said, what do you mean? So I said, do you have a smartphone? And they said, yeah. And I showed them how to build it. You know, and as the word's going up the street, you know, they're kind of running up to their friends and saying, we got a live one here. Make me a cup of tea, we'll talk to you. But I mean, one of the things that I kind of really respect is my friend the professor. Went out last week and spent the equivalent of about $600 US between herself and her friends to buy school materials for 150 children. So they'll actually be able to sit in a classroom and write down what they need to learn and take it home and study it. And this is somebody that, not on a huge salary anyway, but they're willing to kind of put themselves out there and say, well, my job is in education. I can't educate people if they can't learn, and if they can't write the materials down, maybe we need to get it from them.
I guess what I'm taking away from everything that you're telling me, man, all these different people out there that, you know, even though their lifestyles aren't necessarily the best in the world because of the circumstances, that I'm not the only one out here feeling the struggle. I'm not the only one, you know, this isn't about me. It's not about any individual particularly. It's just kind of about, I don't know, but all boils down to just the advice that I try to give people all the time is about, you know, loving and taking care of one another. I know,
well,
I just...
Do you know what I took away from that, Shaziz? That probably the most elevating emotion that I brought back from there is 10% of their local population were killed in one event. Three years down the road, they're smiling. They're getting on with it. They don't bear a grudge.
Well, and that's another thing that hit me like a ton of bricks this morning, you know, that life doesn't stop no matter what happens, you know. You know, every so often I got to pause and I got to try to get a grip on what's going on around me. I mentioned earlier about, I wrote this story about my dog Sammy, you know, and I put it out there on Facebook, and I watched as that story just literally scrolled down the screen as everybody else's story started coming in after him. You know, some funny, some crazy, some just totally worthless information that, you know, somebody just being a wise guy, or even people fighting and fussing and all that kind of stuff. And the ones who actually saw that deal and stopped on it and threw a, you know, a like or a heart or a comment on there, you know, this world is has become so incredibly chaotic that it just seems like things get missed, you know, so easily. You know, when we talk about all the things that need to be done in this world, we talk about the health care system and the legal system and the governments and all this of this of the world, and we always talk about trying to make the world a better place. It's almost impossible to try to get a grip on how out of control this world appears to be to some people. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Well, Tom, I've been a keyboard warrior for a decade. And a lot of people have kind of slagged me for it and said, you come on the show every week and you tell us to do this and you tell us to do that. And I don't think we do in a certain respect. I think we tell other people what we have done or what we have researched that others claim you can do. And maybe a few times I've said to people, well, you should do this. But it wasn't the intent. My intent was, you can do this if you choose to. But when you see acres, if not hectares, of slums that have been reduced to a pile of wood and sheets of corrugated steel, and a couple of years later, they just build it back up and get on with it. I mean, the security guard outside the hotel I was staying in lost four of his family members. His mother, his father, and his two sisters. He's the only one left. But every time I walked into the hotel, I actually asked him to stop opening the door for me. Because that was how you respect visitors. You know, everywhere I went, with a few exceptions, I was either smiled at or people just ignored me. But other than one single occasion, there was no overt hostility. I can't walk down my own high street in my hometown where I was born without people giving me evils, as they say. But I go to some country in the middle of Asia that's supposed to be some third world docile, but the people are really friendly.
Well, I found out. That found
not
out
because you've got money, because you're a visitor, you're a guest. I mean, why would you not welcome people to your home? I mean, you should be proud of it.
I found out through my lifetime. I've been in a lot of places. I've been in some pretty nice places, and I've been in some pretty rotten places as well. But I found out through my entire lifetime, those folks who had to really seriously struggle through life are kind of like the best people to hang out with, because they appreciate things a lot more than somebody who is just given whatever, you know. And they will go through extremes to take care of their families. You know, they'll put their own lives in jeopardy to try to do something right for a total stranger. And
do you know what? One old guy said to me, he said, you're the first person in 3 years that's actually asked me what I need, rather than telling me what I need.
Yep, there's a difference there.
I said, yeah, that's because I got no money. Or rather, people haven't given me lots of money to tell you what you need. But I tell you what, I've got knowledge. And rather than do it for you, I can tell you what's possible if you're inclined to do so. Because I've got a whole mad science group behind me. And it's not just one or two people. There's a lot of people out there contributing all the time. And I think a lot of the listeners don't realise quite how many people. And it's not just us. It's Awake Radio. It's Freedom Radio. There's all these networks all around the world that are kind of going to the garden sheds and they're inventing stuff. And when they get the results, they share it with us.
And that's the only option we got, man. I mean, come on, none of us have the resources to do what we could do to our maximum potential, because all of us haven't come together yet. Now, if we ever get to that point, we can try to make things right in this world. You know, the drug industry out here, it gets me so incredibly frustrated that it's money over, you know. Didn't a doctor supposed to take an oath, a Hippocratic oath or something like that, that said to do no harm?
Now, but they had to pay. They had to pay for their medical school and licensing first.
Yeah.
They got that in between there at some point. It was all downhill from there on in.
I'm sure there are some good-hearted doctors out there, and I'm sure there really are some things, and I'm sure that I'm probably taking it out on the medical industry because of the circumstances. But, my God, you know, if I'm sitting here and I know basic science, and I know that anything like chemotherapy and radioactive pills are going to break down a person's immune system and make them sicker than they were to begin with, you know, I know that we can address stuff like this. And whether the research is right or wrong, you know, Raymond Rife did the deal where he was talking about going in and using radio frequencies to target specific certain viruses and bacteria to kill them without hurting the natural, you know, healthy cells. Now, that technology's out there. Whether it's science fiction or science fact, it's something that should be looked at. There's tons and tons of alternative medicines out there that are not talked about in the mainstream. And it's my belief that if you're out to save people, you want to put every single possible option on the table that you can. Not just specifically say, well, you know, this is a pill you need to take, and it's going to make you a little bit sick, you know, and it could have these potential terrible side effects, but, you know, it's all we got for the moment, you know. Instead of saying, wait a second, you know, I was out there and I'd been doing a little bit of research and I heard that there's a certain alternative medicines that people have been doing that they've been getting some good results. I can't promise you anything if you go to alternative medicines as far as, you know, professional advice, but I suggest you look into every possibility, you know, so, because this is serious, you know, we're talking about somebody's life on the line.
And which is this?
Yeah.
Raymond Rife's electrofrequency therapy machine is currently being used in Joo Chiat Road in Singapore.
Well, at least somebody's
You've
benefiting from it.
Alternative therapist, and he will try a number of electro frequencies to find the right frequency to cure or treat a variety of illnesses.
I guess it's just frustrating, Steve. I go out here. I mean, I look at so much the information, the flood of information, the access that we. You said it best. One time you said we have the sum of all humanity's knowledge at our fingertips, and you know how we're using it today is some people's out there. You know, cussing each other out and arguing over whether who's right and who's wrong about any given subject out there. Yet, if we could actually take this time to do like what you were saying a minute ago about the guy in his garage inventing stuff and sharing that information with everybody and his brother. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying this, and I'm saying it with all sincerity and all heart and 100% belief that we got every single answer to every single question ever asked in the history of time. We have every single method to cure every illness on this planet. We have the alternative, the free energy, the clean, renewable energy. We got this thing licked if we can sit down and put our pride aside and start working together as one. You know, the alternative is let your leaders out there do what they've been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And that's war and death and destruction. You know, they're not, their track record stinks. It's the average Joe out there who's taking care of each other. It's the family member or the neighbor or the friend of the family that's going in and taking care of the elderly. It's somebody that doesn't even know the homeless person that you're trying to give food to. It's somebody else in a foreign nation trying to show them how to grow food, trying to teach them how to fish, trying to teach them how to garden and whatever. You know, it's we the people that get things done. It's never been any representation out there. You know, we have governments because we don't want total chaos. We want people to be able to protect our way of life. And so, you know, we elect these representatives to go out there and basically control our armies and make the laws and stuff that will defend us against, you know, whatever's coming at us. But in reality, the last line of defense is the average Joe. It's the average Jane. It's you. It's me. It's the little guy. And your voice does matter. And as hard as it sounds, and as much as we may have to cry or shout or raise a ruckus, and as you hear me hear say things such as life is like wrestling a cactus because it's painful as hell, you know, there is hope in this world. And, you know, I get the wind taken out of my sails because I got a heart like a sponge. And whenever I see people suffering in this world needlessly, it just drives me insane. You know, if there's people in this world that are starving, then we need to feed them. If there's people in this world that are homeless, then we need to shelter them. We need to stop the doggone wars over resources because it's not necessary. None of this stuff is necessary with the exception is it makes somebody money. It gives somebody some sense of power over everybody else. When are we the people of this world? There's 9 billion people on this planet. Only a small percentage of those are the so-called leaders of this world. When are we the people going to get our act together and start learning how to love and forget how to hate, like Ozzy said on there, you know? Regardless of what you think of that man and his music, that one song there that I play on there all the time called Dreamer, listen to the lyrics. You know, we ain't always going to agree on everything, but what we can agree on is this world is screwed up, and the only ones that can fix it is we the people. You're out there arguing over Hillary's and Trump's and all these different politicians that promise, but they don't produce what they promised. They're telling you what you want to hear so that they can get in the seat of power. That's all it is, folks. You know, and it's the average Joe that's going on the missionary trips. It's the average Joe that's going around trying to risk life and limb to bring somebody food and medicine. It ain't the governments. Governments will take your money out of your pocket, take tons and tons of war machines and medical supplies and gas and oil across to foreign nations and mop them into a stone age. Mop them right back into the stone age. Killing off their families, the ones that they're crying over. I'm crying over my family member because my family member died, I feel, needlessly because the healthcare system failed. I watched a friend of mine that I just met here recently have to put in what they call a it's for diabetics. It's a pump that goes in there and it's basically, what is it that I'm trying to say here, Steve, for diabetics?
Insulin pump.
I watched them have to put an insulin pump on so that they could actually, you know, survive. You know, and it frustrates me because why? That's a disease that can be cured. All these dang diseases out here, including cancer. Everybody's sitting up there talking about how scientists are out searching for a cure for cancer. I don't believe they are. And if they are, and if they did find it, and you got some idiot who puts, I don't know how much money they spent on these Georgia Guidestones where they're talking about dropping the population down to 500 million out of 9 billion, that means a lot of people got to go. So when do you put the cure out there? Before or after we're down to 500 million? Nobody in this world has the right over life and death. Nobody has the right over your life or your death. You own your personal life. You own your own personal spiritual journey. You know, for those of you out there who have a heart for one another, and even people you never even met, then it's time. I know that some of y'all out there are up off the couch, and some of y'all out there doing things. They're out there being proactive in your communities, but it's just not enough because not enough people are doing it. Everyone else is riding off of your glory for whatever work that you've done. You know, it's time to get upset. It's time to get angry. It's time to get proactive. It's time to get out there and start taking care of people and learning everything you can learn, regardless of what the doggone school book told you. If the planet really is dying, if we really are polluting the planet, and you're wasting your time out there protesting, then you're just a fool like the rest of us. Protesting ain't gonna do you nothing. getting up with a broom and a dustpan and cleaning up a mess and putting it in its proper place or recycling something, that's the only way you're going to clean this planet. Getting out there, spending time with your family members and letting them know, regardless, unconditionally, that you love them. Every time you see them, you tell them you love them. Before they ever even leave, you give them a hug. You let them know how much they mean to you every single time, because mark my words, there's going to come a day when you're going to realize the last words out of your mouth really do matter. I sound like I'm preaching at the choir, and I may even be ranting to some extent, but I don't care. I got so much that I have to say, that I want to say, that I think that everybody should already know in their own hearts. And this story, along with every other story, may very well just get washed right downstream. But whatever world we live, we leave behind, all of us right now, our generation and the generation right behind us and the generation behind them, whatever we leave here today is going to be what those future generations have to contend with. And if somebody way back when would have got on the medical industry and got on to the greed and broke that system down before it ever even got here, there might have been a different cure and we might have been telling a happier story here today. Mankind can't keep on going in the direction that we're going. We're burying our families at an alarming rate. We're watching people all over this world suffer. There's wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and people out there leeching off of everyone's fears. There's a terrorist behind every doggone bush, and the mainstream media is making out like a bandit, filling their pockets full of money and gold, silver, and jewels, while the average Joe's out there struggling just to get a loaf of bread. And in my mind, in my heart, it's ridiculous. That's why I get frustrated. You know, when I have time to think about it and I sit down and I think about it, my family and the losses and as many people as I've had to carry to the grave in my lifetime, I'm overwhelmed. I just sometimes feel like I gotta get up and walk away. I wanna go over and I wanna lay down in the corner and I just wanna cry like a baby because I just can't take it anymore. Sometimes people will say just the right thing that gets me up, and I want to shout it out from every mountain again. I want to try to steer somebody else away from having to feel the way that some of us have to feel. We're getting bad news on a daily basis. Some of us are so depressed we can't even see straight, and we're fighting our own damn demons. Everyone out there struggling, but I don't believe, until the fat lady sings, I don't believe it's over, folks. If we're going to fix this thing, we need to start a tsunami. We need to start a tsunami of common sense and love that will cross this entire globe. We need to get up. We need to shout it out. We need to start pointing out all the stupidity and cleaning up this doggone mess before it's all said and done. It's gone. It's too late. We're over the cliff into the great abyss and never to be seen again. That's where we're heading. There's four little beautiful children who are going to be living without their mama because the healthcare system failed, as far as I'm concerned. And it's just one story out of all the stories of 9 billion people on this planet. I should just grow up. I should just take it like a man. I should just, like, go with the flow. I should just, you know, keep my faith. I should just do whatever it takes. But sometimes...
Well, the microphone's working again. Where each other is.
Sometimes I just wanna throw in the towel, man, because I don't have the answers. I can't fix it. All I can do is point out to you the information that I find. Thomas does the same thing. Yeah.
In the history of human society, nobody has ever fixed anything, but it's never stopped them trying.
Well, you know, you guys have been my motivation factor. Do you realize how long I've been doing this radio show, preaching to the choir and trying to tell the world and trying to get people to the microphone and to the round table?
Not anymore, mate.
Realize how many years it's been?
We're constantly expanding, finding a new audience that don't know a lot of the stuff we're talking about. You're not just preaching to the choir. You think there are new people signing on every day on all the various different networks that you broadcast it. To think that you're preaching to the choir is some small town chapel where everybody knows everybody else and everybody knows everybody else's sins and they've seen it and they've done it. That's not what we're doing to this. You only got to look at the amount of listeners you get.
Well, you know what? I said this a long time ago, even if there was only one single soul out there listening to anything I had to say and it benefited their life in any way, that it would all be worth it. And maybe I just don't have enough patience to wait around for this world to get better. But I got to try, you know? I know you guys feel the same way. Steve, you got some things going on in your life. Anybody who was weak could just lay down and that's your excuse not to get back up. And I know Thomas is going through the same thing. He's got his own struggles. But, you know, and I don't want to be one sitting around here being the negative Nancy and trying to complain about the world. All I want to do is try to shout it out to everybody out there. Please, for God's sake, start loving each other and start paying attention to what's going on in your lives and your family's life. Don't take for granted. Yeah, somebody's always going to be there.
I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. And believe me, when I get my bad news, I'm not particularly happy with it either. But, you know, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Why worry about it?
Well, you know, I understand the concept there, brother, but I have a hard time not worrying about people I love. You know, and I really do love you. I love Thomas. I love Muddy and Raymond. I love everybody, man. That's just me. You know, and maybe it sounds kind of wimpy or whatever. Whatever, you know. Maybe I sound weak.
I don't like when he doesn't pull the belt on his.
I was told that, you know, the men got to be strong and, you know, men can't cry, that kind of stuff. It's not right for a man to cry. But I cried more on this doggone. I've cried more on this show than I cared to even mention. You know, sometimes I listen to myself, I make myself sick. You know? I just...
Yeah, right. Whatever, mate. I mean, if somebody's upset, then we should console them, not berate them. Not look down on them because they have actual human emotions and they express them. Because that is a sense of strength as much as it is a perceived amount of weakness. And anybody tells me that a man is weak because he cries... I say, so you bottle it up and go home and beat your wife and kids, do you? That makes you a real hero, mate. Oh, yeah, you're a real man. You take your frustration out behind closed doors because you will not take the comfort from your friends and family that offer it to you.
You know, I tell you what, there's some guys out there that body size, they make me look like freaking Mickey Mouse or Mr. Salty the Pretzel Man. They're huge, and they are big dudes, and they are bad. As far as tough, you wouldn't want to fight with them. And I've witnessed those men crying when they thought nobody was looking. Because the human heart, the human soul, man, you would be surprised at how soft it is at the core. You know, there's people that's been in war situations right now that struggle with choices that they had to make. And you know, my anger doesn't come from them having to make that choice. From them making that choice, it comes from the reason why they had to make that choice, because of some stupid politician sending people out to fight over something that was, you know, more than likely a bunch of crap to begin with. You know, these wars over oil and resources, it's ridiculous. And telling everybody there's a boogeyman behind every bush, so we got to send our children overseas to fight with somebody else's children. When are we going to get our act together? When are we, the 9 billion people of this planet, going to get our act together and stop following the lead of the dang demons that are up there running these nations of the world. You see what I'm saying, man?
A couple of years ago, I was in England visiting a friend of mine. And he had a visitor. And I kind of asked the guy about his tattoos, because he's got a couple of teardrops next to his eye. And he said, yeah, I spent 20 years in prison for murdering people. I said, well, okay. But he said to me, you know, I'll give you one piece of advice. Live a good life, because even Usain Bolt, no matter how fast he can run, he can't run away from himself. And it will come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
No matter how tough you think you are, or how hard a man you think you are, you cannot run away from your own conscience. And sooner or later, it will catch up with you.
Well, people
so live a good life.
People spend a lot of time on Facebook and other social medias just arguing back and forth and cussing each other, while other people spend a lot of time telling each other how much they love each other and sharing pictures and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of in reality, it's kind of a chaotic mix of emotions. It's just continuously flowing like a river, you know, a river of data.
Oh yeah, I've seen quite a lot of websites where people have been sharing pictures with each other, but I don't think they'd show them in a church. But the point is each to their own. Do not judge other people by your own personal standards. Judge them how they treat you. Is it not the way that, you know, you should treat your fellow man how you wish to be treated yourself?
Well, that's what the good book says. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, essentially. It's what the meaning behind it
is. The only problem I have with that is the only way that would actually effectively work is if everybody was exactly the same. I think you need to basically look at it as, do you want to treat people as long as you're willing to, how they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated, but how they want to be treated. It's like your adage about don't go out and tell people what they need, ask them what they need.
Yeah, I can understand that, and I can respect that. See, you know...
Well, I have a feeling, since it's been translated so many times, it may have very well just been something that got lost in translation, too.
I wish there...
When I said to the guy about, you know, I prefer to treat people how I wish to be treated, he did ask me if I wanted to send any compromising pictures of myself and my wife so he could put them up on his website. And I said, no, that's not quite what I meant. But I do appreciate the offer. I mean, it's trying to respect that, you know, you wanted to include me in whatever you're doing.
You know, every single generation, if you look hard enough, you'll find a book of wisdom where somebody put down some words of wisdom hoping that somebody else in this world would benefit from it. I think maybe it's time to get the next book of words of wisdom out there. You know, if anything else, just to use it as a measuring scale for like 10 years down the line, we can look back at this book and we can actually say, you know, we did something good. Like, you know, I upload the podcast for the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to look over there and I'm going to see. I think if my memory serves, which usually 9 times out of 10 it doesn't, I think we have about 180 some odd podcasts up there just for the Knights of the Round Table alone. And there's a lot of words of wisdom inside those doggone podcasts. And
Shaziz, in my head I have the Gospel According to Simply Steve. And it doesn't include taking people for their money or taking people for their resources or even taking people for their knowledge.
Well, the key to this, and if you jump over there, I'm going to go ahead and post this link inside the chat room, and I might even post it over there at Facebook. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to post it in the Super chat room, and just please humor me sometime and go over there and just take a look around and look what's said on there. And if there's anything to take away from the whole deal, I'd like people to take away the fact that this wasn't one person that did this. This was many people from different nations around the world that put these podcasts together. And this is the roundtable. This is the idea, the whole thing, the whole purpose. I'm scrolling down. There's 185 podcasts out there from the Knights of the Round Table, and we're on 186 right now. And
sure is.
Yeah,
we've been doing it a long time. We've tried to do the best we can.
Well, basically,
we're not mainstream media. We talk about what we want to talk about, not what people tell us is appropriate.
Well, basically, what I'm trying to point out to is, I put them podcasts up there so that someday we can look back at them as a measuring scale to see if all these years of trials and tribulations and, you know, laughing on the shows and crying on the shows and getting angry on the shows, and we've been on a roller coaster of emotions for all these years, out there shouting about governments and ways to fix it and solutions and, you know, everything from alternative energy to alternative medicine to alternatives to the legal system, everything under the sun, trying to put ideas out there for people to grasp on and inviting them to the table so that they can have a say, you know, because I believe everybody's word counts.
Which is this, we might not have all the answers, but we're certainly not afraid to ask the questions.
I agree.
And this is what I see as a significant difference between what a lot of people might call the mainstream media and alternative media. Is in the mainstream, they won't even ask the questions.
You want to talk to the real deal, the average Joe, then get on this doggone microphone and do it, you know, because this is who you're hearing from right now. We're not famous, we're not rich, we're not celebrities, we're just average Joes who actually care about this world. We're average Joes who think that, you know, in some little way, if we don't at least try to make a difference, then, you know, it's kind of like this. If you got a police system that is so entirely corrupt and you don't get involved, you don't get no good people in there, then the whole system's corrupt. Just like the governments. If you don't get good people in those seats of power, then the whole system is just corrupt. You know? Now, if I had my way about it, we'd get up and we'd just walk away from that government. We'd just walk away from them. We wouldn't pay our taxes. We wouldn't talk to them. We wouldn't obey their laws or anything. We'd just start our own communities right off to the side and tell them, look, you guys made a mess. We're not going to deal with it anymore. But in reality, you know that can't be done. You know you can't stop paying your taxes. Somebody will kick your door in and take you off to jail, and that's the system you live in, you know. But
Shaziz, if you don't want to pay taxes, you have to immigrate somewhere else and pay it there instead.
Yeah. Isn't that universal? There's tax in every nation?
Well, there's two things you can be pretty sure of in this life. Is you're going to be taxed and you're going to die.
Well, the biggest tax...
Well, you're going to be born as well, so that's three. You're born, you pay taxes, and then you shuffle off this mortal coil and go on somewhere else to do something else, which a lot of people have a lot of opinions on.
Steve, you finally brought it back around to two things, because for a long while it's been only one thing you could be sure of in this life that was in that quote, and that's that you will be taxed to death.
Yeah. Well, with life extension technologies, maybe we won't die, but we'll certainly spend a very, very long time paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is well, that there, the definition there of human existence?
If we were talking about this the other night, man, if you define immortality as basically not aging and just living eternally, there is an organism on this planet that is immortal. And all other life is dependent upon it right now.
What, Queen Elizabeth?
Huh? No, I'm talking about the single-celled plant and animal organisms that the only method they have to continue living
Norris.
Is cellular regeneration. You know, they split and divide, and that's what we do inside our bodies. We just have a big collection of cells that split and divide, to keep us alive, you know? And we just have a mechanism built into it that says, okay, you've split and divided enough, no more.
Well, there's a great film out there by a guy called, a writer called Jerome Bixby. Wrote a book a number of years ago, and it was made into a movie in 2007 called The Man from Earth. Now, you got a bunch of scientists or professors from a university sitting around holding an impromptu goodbye party to one of the guys that's moving on. And he kind of sits there and says, well, you know, I've been kind of wanting to do this for a while, and I think I'm probably in the right group with the right frame of mind now tell my real story. And apparently this guy is 14,000 years old.
I don't think I could survive 14,000 years.
He's just never died.
Right.
Every 10 years he moves on. You know, he said, all of your degrees I have held at one point or another. My biology degree was from 150 years ago. My science degree was from 60 years ago. You know, every degree that you have, I have had at some point in my past, and I have taught, and I have done this, and I've done that, and it's a really good film, because it's not the fact that, you know, oh, I'm a 14,000-year-old man that can't die. It's kind of the examination of human history from the perspective of a man that's been through it for pretty much the whole time since we stopped hunting and gathering.
What's the name of that movie?
The Man from Earth.
I have to watch that.
Now, if people have religious sensitivities, then it might not be appropriate. I will put that out there.
Well, maybe I ought not watch it. I don't know. My God, look. I'm at a loss because I don't know what to do to make everything better, but other than what I've been doing, I don't know, I don't have any other tools. I can't just jump in a car and then go to the airport and jump on a plane and have lots of funds to go over and help somebody in a third world country. It's beyond my control, but what I do got is duct tape and baling wire and then a couple old computers, one with Windows XP and one with Linux on it, that I scrapped together to put together a radio show to try to shout it out to the world, some common sense from my point of view. Maybe I'm wrong, but what I do...
Which is it?
Huh?
Think of it this way. If it wasn't for your radio show, it's probably unlikely that I would actually end up in a third world country trying to do something there.
Well, you know, you're taking them a bit of knowledge that is going to be beneficial to feeding and taking care of somebody. So you are the prime example of what it is that I want from this show. And Thomas doing and saying the things that he does and what he talks about, how he wants to get things out there to the market of the people, not to the market of the governments or the corporations. He wants to put it in the hands of the people. That is what I want from this show. Me doing this radio show and my YouTube channel trying to teach somebody little nuggets of knowledge that they can run with, that's what I want from this show. I want average Joes from all over, every backyard scientist, every backyard doctor, whatever. I want them coming together with all the research that they've ever done on any subject and help one another to figure out ways through this entire mess. You know, I got this saying that I've been saying since I was a younger, and I said, you can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose, because life, you know, life is just a mess, alright? But what you can do is learn from that experience, so when you get to the other side, even though life is like wrestling a doggone cactus and it's painful as all get out, if you can take that life experience and help somebody else to not walk around that cesspool, don't walk through it like I did. You see what I mean? That's all I got.
Too many people are like, man, I can get through there without smelling too bad. I just have to go through when everybody else is and push them down and walk on their backs.
Yeah, my point exactly. You know, thanks for that, Thomas. That's brilliant. I mean, that's exactly what some folks end up thinking they can do. Is this, you know, I'll walk right over the top of the person in front of me, but listen to this. There's 9 billion people on the planet. You may be the first one to walk over the first 100,000 people, but eventually they're going to come back and they're going to walk all over you. You'll be the one face down in the cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Look,
I think especially after you get caught.
It's just you gotta take care of each other, man. How much harder does it have to be other than those simple words, you know? The word love, man, come on, look it up. How much harder does it have to be? If you can love your neighbor, then your neighbor could probably love you as well.
Well, because it's the political elites hate us a hell of a lot more than we hate them.
Well, I'm sure they do.
You know why? Because society is like a tree of monkeys. All the monkeys at the top of the tree look down and they see nothing but smiling faces. And all the monkeys at the bottom of the tree, which is probably 99% of the population, look up and all they see is big airy backsides.
Yeah.
if they're seeing anything because they haven't gotten something in the eye.
Yeah, well see, look, I keep saying this all the time. You know, everybody talks about the pyramid. The base of the pyramid is the people and the top is the elite, the Illuminati or whatever, some secret secret society that rules the world, the international bankers and all. But you know, if that foundation fails, then the top can't be held up there any longer. So what I'm telling everybody is, instead of leaving them up there and holding them up with everything that you got, to walk away, go in the opposite direction and watch the top of that thing fall. If you stop supporting a beast that's eating everybody alive, then it can't stay up there. The healthcare systems out there, you know, if you don't like the way they're doing, then you need to get out there and you need to start telling these corporations, don't even worry about telling them. Start telling doggone people. You're going to protest anybody. Protest the dang mainstream media. Say, look, you know, you guys have been telling us all this time, you got to believe the doctor. You got to believe the doctor. You can't look in alternative medicines. And here's the Food and Drug Administration over here that know that there's medicines that might be in Canada or Ireland or wherever, all over this place in this world. There are medicines out there that are showing positive results, whereas this one here has side effects that not only make the patient sicker, but could potentially end up in death. And if these medicines are available in Canada, why aren't they available in America? Why aren't they available all over the world? Why are we told that this is all you got option, that you can either take the radiation therapy or you can take this pill that's radioactive, both of which is going to break your immune system down? Now, common sense to me tells me you would want to take either one of those. And if it was a baking soda treatment, I would rather try that and run my risk with nature than to try, you know, something that's going to kill me. That's going to not only that, Thomas and Steve, listen to me. When my cousin was going through this stuff, the last conversation that I had with her was about alternative medicines, and she was telling me how expensive this medicine was that she was trying to get a hold of. You know, and then if you're at the mercy of a insurance company or the government to whether you're going to receive this medicine that's going to torment you anyway. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Thousands and thousands of dollars for a certain type of medicine that may or may not work. And 9 times out of 10 doesn't work because of the results that comes from it. If you're taking a radioactive pill, how's that doing your system? I'm frustrated because I've done research.
I worked with GlaxoSmithKline supporting their pharmaceutical servers a number of years ago, and I talked to one of their biologists that creates and designs the drugs that they sell, and he thought I was part of the club. I had a little conversation with him, and his kind of summary to that was, look, we don't make cures, we make dependencies. It might cost us 50 million up to a billion to develop a new drug that we can make for 1 cent a tablet, but we will make our money back. Yes. Why do you think it costs $7,000 for a tablet that costs us 1 cent to make?
It's ironic you said that, Steve, because you know what? You go out there in any community, you're going to find a drug dealer. And a lot of them drug dealers are going to be your best friend the very first time you meet them. They're going to be your best bud. They're going to give you a free sample of their product. They might even give you free samples several times, just enough to get you addicted. Once they get you addicted, now it's pay time. And that's exactly what the doggone drug industry is doing out there. And the Food and Drug Administration, who's supposedly there to protect you, that fall prey to lobbyists and bribery and corruption and scandal, there's things that get on the market that shouldn't have never been on the market. There's cancers out there that should have never been cancers to begin with. Your body's a chemistry set. When you start putting trash in your body, then you're going to have bad results. And the unfortunate part of this, the blowback of all this this stuff that goes down, is every time that somebody loses a family member, the devastation that's left behind isn't just for that one individual. It's not just for the crowd around them that's crying because they're missing their loved one. It's for their children and their children's children. You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't stop, but these guys are getting by literally with murder. The same thing that you or I would be thrown in prison for, governments get by with hand over fist.
Now, I don't know if anyone puts any story in the Natural News website. Where was it? Mike Adams, the health ranger. I kind of listened to a couple of the things he said, and there's some stuff that they put up there that I know from personal experience works. But they're talking about Nuggalese.
Nuggalese?
Yeah, Nuggalese, that they're putting into vaccinations to cause cancer.
Yeah. And then you have
What's
to ask yourself...
What's the thing that happens in a Western hospital when a child is born? They stick a needle in it.
Yeah, and then when kids end up with autism and other strange ailments, ADHD or whatever, they'll put them on Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, and all that kind of stuff that essentially, is a horse tranquilizer. So you're drugging your kid down. It might just be the case that your kid might just need a little bit of love and tenderness and maybe even some discipline at some point in time, but... instead you chose to allow your family physician to advise you to give your son or daughter drugs, and you're feeding them trash from the dang food industry out there that the Food and Drug Administration passed all kinds of craziness to allow people to do things. There's drugs out there. If you read the doggone symptoms, the possible side effects on it should be terrifying to the average Joe.
Let me give you the definition of Nuggalese, because this is kind of mad science roundtable stuff. And people can believe it or they can not believe it. But the definition of this compound is an extracellular matrix degrading enzyme that is secreted by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. It also has an intrinsic component of the envelope protein of various virons such as HIV and the influenza virus. So you tell me, what on earth is this compound doing in vaccinations?
Yeah, tell me, why has mercury ever made it in there? Seriously, there's a saying out there called mad as a hatter. That's because in history there was actually hat makers who drove themselves insane using mercury in the process of making hats. Believe it or not, true story. But yet,
even
it's
mercury
in,
and lead.
It's
that's
in
Alice in Wonderland's Mad Hatter.
Yeah. It's in a vaccine that you're putting into your newborn baby. And I'm not 50 like...
50 times by the time they're 15. Good on you, medical research. You're awesome.
There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there in alternative medicines that need to be heard. And the only way they're going to get heard is if you share the information that you believe in. You do the research on it, and you heard what they had to say. You looked it up. You checked it up. You weighed out the facts. You use all your basic common sense and science to tell you that what you hear from these individuals sounds plausible, it looks plausible, it's verifiable, and you pass that information on to your next people out there. Right now, it scares the living daylight out of me that I know people right now who have cancer, who have diabetes, who have just about every disease known to man, that are literally going to their doctor and trusting the entire sanctity of their life to their doctor, and they're getting blood transfusions, they're getting medicines, and they're supposedly getting the best treatment in the West, you know. And yet, each and every one of these individuals that I know are degrading so rapidly, it's not even remotely funny. Why? Why in the hell, when I go to the doctor, am I in fear for my life because they're going to give me a shot to prevent me from getting something because I accidentally got stuck by a doggone needle that was in a freaking purse from an auction, and now I gotta worry about whether or not the person that had that before me had some sort of rare disease that's gonna give me something. It's either gonna affect my family, it's gonna take me down. And now I gotta risk my life to take a series of shots in order to be able to try to protect myself from some future disease that may or may not happen. And that's because I have to live in fear of everything that's been told to me from day one to today. You gotta be a germaphobe. You gotta be afraid of the terrorist in the bush. You gotta be afraid to pick up a hitchhiker. He might be a mass murderer. All I hear from the mainstream media and the governments of these worlds is fear. All I hear, you got to be afraid of this, you got to be afraid of that, pay your taxes or we're going to come and kick your ass. That's all I hear. I don't hear the governments out there saying, go over and listen to this guy and try some of these alternative medicines because it's one of many solutions, including ours, that has many health deficits, whatever the word I'm trying to say. You could die from this stuff. You got a long list of possible side effects, and if you notice any of these, your heart problems, your kidneys, or whatever, call your doctor immediately and stop taking the medicine. It says that right there on the deal. It tells you on the toothpaste, if you accidentally ingest this, to call poison control. We're living in a world with massive technology, all kinds of answers, all kinds of stuff, and yet we're putting toothpaste in our kids' mouth that we're not even sure whether or not it's going to make them sick or not?
Shazoo's, fluoride toothpaste is one of my bugbears because I've got a lot of dental work done recently. Now, according to the Irish government, less than 0.5 parts per million is acceptable in tap water. But when you look on the side of a bit of Colgate toothpaste, the reason why they say poison control if your kids swallow it is there's 1,475 parts per million of fluoride in toothpaste.
Excuse me, sodium fluoride.
Well, yeah, well, you're the chemist, Thomas. Is that good or bad for the body?
Sodium fluoride is a special name for a lot of fluorides. I mean, it's,
is that good or bad for the body? Because what I understand is too much fluoride will get you, gives you a disease called advanced fluoridosis, which will turn your teeth brown.
Yeah, and you
I don't know about I don't know about that. I just know that fluorine doesn't seem to provide a biological role in the body, and it is actually a stronger oxidizer than chlorine.
So you might as well be brushing your teeth with bleach.
That's also what you make hydrochloric acid with. So that means basically if it is cracked by any biological process in your system and combined with a hydrogen atom, you end up with hydrofluoric acid, which is even more powerful than anything that's in your system.
If the doctor, if somebody asked me, if somebody in anybody in this world ever asked me, are the doctors there to help you? I would have to, at this stage in the game, say, I'm not sure. I think they're literally trying to kill us. Now, maybe that sounds kind of tinfoil hat wearing, conspiracy, whatever, but the fact of the matter is, from what I'm seeing out here in this world, common sense isn't ruling the day. You don't give somebody some doggone radioactive pill to put in their body to try to get rid of cancer cells. You're killing their immune system. If nature can't take care of itself, you're killing it off. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you drop a tooth, because they talk about using fluoride to help the teeth, right? If you drop a tooth in Coke, which is nothing more than phosphoric acid, which is a fairly weak acid, and it breaks it down, what do you think something that's, you know, 800 to 1,000 times stronger is going to do to your teeth? Do you honestly think it's going to make them stronger, or do you think it's going to erode them away and destroy them?
Tom, what's the difference between dental fluorosis and skeletal fluorosis?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
None.
Look at the math, look at the science and the chemistry behind it, you know?
Well, when people
doesn't break, sound good, though.
When people break their bones and it sticks out through their arms and they're suffering from dental fluorosis, your bones are made of calcium as well. The only difference between your teeth and bones is your teeth has enamel around them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that they do not report in scientific journals. Probably because six companies run the top 70 scientific journals on the planet. So they choose what gets published. But believe me, I've seen evidence of skeletal fluorosis, where you've got the same brown spots all over your bones as well as your teeth.
Well, what about the medicine that they take to break down... What's your brain mostly made out of?
Most of your brain is actually fat.
Yeah, but yeah. But there's a medicine that they put out there.
Statin.
Yeah, there's a medicine. So, I'm trying to remember the doggone word for it, but there's a medicine that they put out there to cholesterol. There's a medicine that they put out there to regulate your cholesterol, and if a lot, the majority
it's
of
called,
your,
it's called statins, which is
it? Yeah.
In 2012, I was driving around the UK where my family lived, listening to my car radio, and every 15 minutes, oh, you are suffering from high cholesterol, then go to your doctor and get statins. And guess what? A few years later, they're saying, oh, by the way, 90% of your brain is made of cholesterol, and statins are giving you brain damage.
It's funny, but it's not, man. It is. It's funny, but it's not. Because, I mean, it's like the slapstick comedies that you see out there, people smacking each other around. It's funny, but it's not. Because it's, you know, really, if somebody's getting hurt, you don't want to laugh about it. It ain't right because somebody's getting hurt. But the way that things are portrayed in the media out there, like the old Three Stooges deal, guy gets hit in the head with a 2x4, you laugh for an hour, you know, it's funnier than heck because... You know, first off, he didn't hurt him because you knew it was just a joke anyway. But it in reality, you hit somebody in the head with a dang 2x4, they're going down. You know?
And they're going to lose most of the day.
Yeah.
If they don't die.
But doggone it, man, you know, we're putting our hopes of our children and the future of the humanity in the hands of psychopaths who only care about making money. You know? You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't... If you want gun control, if you're a liberal out there and you seriously want gun control, you need to start with the governments first. Because we wouldn't have no reason for gun control if the doggone people over there weren't over there bombing foreign nations, making people mad. Because if you come over in my neighborhood and you start blowing up my family, by God, I'm going to be mad. And I might want to retaliate. The Hatfields and McCoys fought for how long? And they didn't even know why the heck they were fighting after a certain period of time. They just were fighting. Alright?
Which is this. A 12-year-old was asked for the solution to gun problems. And he came up with the ultimate simple answer. Either everybody has them, or nobody has them. And that includes the politicians.
I agree.
Well, yep. You illegal, if you make guns illegal, the only people that are going to have them are basically criminals.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't talking about law, Tom. He was talking about either everybody has them or nobody has them.
The ultimate equalizer.
If you take them away from everybody, then everybody has to have them to protect themselves.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, too. Everybody misquotes the Second Amendment, saying, oh, you got the right just to protect yourself. No. They were saying the populace has the right to have equal level of firepower in order to basically secure mutual destruction between them and the government. So their level of technology and the firepower that they hold should be equivalent to the government. That way, if the government start stepping out of line, it can be pushed right back into line because it doesn't have the power to use force on those people to make them bend to its will. You essentially guarantee there's no chance there will ever be tyranny. You also secure, since at that point the power of the government is the people themselves, you secure your democratic system, where you use votes, or your democracy of your system, because you secure that basically those with more firepower, meaning the majority of the populace, can then subjugate the lesser quantity of votes because they have less firepower.
You know what?
Just by sheer numbers. Like, well, if we go to war, only one, even if we kill 1-to-1, there's 1% is going to be left behind, and it's going to be that 1% that basically is, on the side that basically was for whatever it was that we were resisting.
I got to give credit where credit is due. I'm looking at a copy of the United States Constitution, and I'm looking at all the original signers underneath the Constitution, and I have to give credit to the founding fathers of this country because of one fact alone. The United States of America has been the longest running empire in the history of time because these guys were wise enough to understand that if power was to ever get in the hands of one single group, that it would basically do exactly what it's done before in history. They put a government within a government within a government all the way down. They had checks and balances. They had executive, legislative, and a judicial branch of government. A separation of powers between church and state and everything out there so that we would be doing exactly what we're doing right now. We have the right to protest against our government if we don't believe what our government's working in our best interest. But if they had done and said what they did to put that document together, it's hard telling where we'd be today. We're the longest running because the government fears the people. As long as the people understand the power that they truly have with that Second Amendment, with that First Amendment, and all the other amendments there in that document. You understand what I'm saying here? And all the people out there in this world who are upset with the way that things are functioning in society need to understand that the only way that they can ever make anything right is if they exercise those rights that was afforded to them by the blood, sweat, and tears, the lives of those who came before us. We owe our founding fathers and our grandfathers and their grandfathers, we owe them everything because they laid the path down. They laid the stones that we're standing on right now. Whether they be good, perfect stones, that's neither here nor there. The fact is, what we're complaining about right now is what they did their best to put us where we are today, to where we still have the opportunity to speak out. But there will come a day, if you're not vigilant, like Thomas Jefferson said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, which means you got to pay attention. But at the same time, while all this stuff is going on and everybody's out there fascinated with Dancing with the Stars and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the MMA fights and all the craziness and the video games and the technological distractions, you're losing your freedoms. You're losing your lives. You're losing your family members because you're not paying attention to what's going on out there. And now, if this is all an illusion, if everything outside my door and everything that I've been told on the mainstream media and everything that I've been told on the alternative media, if there is no doomsday, there is no terrorists, there is no wars going on in this world, if everything is just a massive psychological operation of epic proportions, I want us, we the people, to find the person or persons responsible for putting us through this mental mind screw of epic proportion, and I literally want to kick their ass. Period. That's all I can say. Because this is not healthy. This is torment. I have to sit there and watch your family members be carried to the grave year after year. I can't even begin to tell you how many caskets I've walked down through the grass and put my family members in a grave. Military members, civilian members, just average people, my family, real people like your family, your children, your aunts, your uncles, the people that you love. I'm not the only one doing this. There's other people out there doing this. We're putting our people in the grave day after day. And it has to come a time when common sense got to kick in and got to say, look, enough's enough. We got to stop shooting each other. We got to stop fighting amongst each other. We got to start working together. We got to take all this vast knowledge that we've acquired throughout the history of time. And if there were secret societies that existed before us, not make the same dang mistake and end up like Atlantis in the bottom of an ocean somewhere because our technology got the best of us. We got to get our act together.
If we want the world to be peaceful, then if they're going to go door-to-door confiscating weapons, they need to go into the gated communities with armed guards at the front and take everybody's there as well. And they need to go into all the drug slums and take theirs and stop shipping them by the truckload to Mexico under Fast and Furious so they can come back and start shooting good people so they can claim the need to take them away.
Which one of you told me today that more people die from prescription drugs than everything else?
According to the Center for Disease Control, 14,000 people a year, and that's from about, I think it was 1990 to 2003, they did a study of how many people that had died, not from illegal drugs, but from prescription drugs, which they'd either been overprescribed or abused, but 14,000 people a year die from approved drugs.
All right, so you're going to throw the hippie smoking his wacky tobacco up in jail for 10, 15 years, but you're going to leave these doctors out there to literally, play Russian roulette with people's lives? You know, it don't make no sense.
I sat there in front of a doctor. In fact, I've sat there in front of quite a few of them over the last 20 years. And I've asked them, does what I eat and what I consume have any impact on my health? And you get the same wall of silence because doctors don't study nutrition. They're not interested in what you consume. They're interested in the drugs that they can prescribe you to treat the problem.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure.
Not cure it, but manage it.
I'm going to tell you one thing for sure, Stephen. If I ever get diagnosed with cancer, I'm calling Thomas up and I'm asking what research he's got because he knows chemistry. And to me, basic science says your body's a chemistry set, and if anybody knows what's best to regulate anything, he's got some knowledge in there somewhere, you know? And if I need to know how to grow some healthy food, I'm calling you up. And I'm going to ask you, look, man, do you know what the best foods to grow that, you know, don't require pesticides to keep bugs off of them, or how I can grow this food in order to keep the bugs off of them so that I don't get sick? You see what I'm saying? Well,
they found natural cures for cancer everywhere from cannabis to apricot seeds to baking powder.
Yeah, and there's a website out there called eattheseeds.com where they're talking about apple seeds, you know?
It's full of selenium. In fact, long-distance runners lose selenium from their bones, and they recommended that when they eat an apple, they eat the core and the seeds as well, because apples have a high concentration of selenium in them. But the reason why they say, oh, don't eat apricot seeds, is because they have a form of cyanide in them. But it's not a processed cyanide, it's a natural one. And guess what? It kills cancer. That's why you cannot buy raw apricot seeds, which have a high concentration of vitamin B17 in it, because it actually works.
Well, you know what?
It doesn't make your hair fall out, it doesn't make your teeth fall out, it doesn't turn you into a zombie.
We need to find a way to reorganize our governments of this world. We need to find a way to reorganize the Food and Drug Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency, who's out there, who will fine you thousands and thousands of dollars for polluting the land, but yet can get by with dumping tons and tons of waste crud out of an old mine that they messed with and dump it right down the river and tell everybody, it's alright, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can start drinking the water again.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shaz, is there was a guy in England that had a fish farm. He was a salmon farmer. And he got hugely fined by the European Union because his labelling didn't state might might contain fish. It's got salmon on the damn packet, for God's sake. I picked up a tin of peanuts, and it had written on the side of it, may contain nuts. And I said, well, I hope so.
Well, yeah, that's what you're buying.
Yeah. Oh, come on, give me a break, will you? I mean, seriously, a large fine, because your packet of fish didn't have explicitly written on it, for fish allergies, may contain fish. Not does contain fish, but might do.
Well, folks, we're getting down to it. I mean, this has probably been, as far as my contribution to the show today, it's probably been one of the most terrible shows that I've ever done in my life. You know, I got a picture sitting in front of me of my cousin Katie and her sister Amy. Amy put a heartwarming message out there on Facebook and talked about how she lost her sister. And this is just one story out of nine billion stories out there. There's one story out there, but I watched these two girls grow up from the time they were babies all the way up through their teen years and all the way up to their adult years. And I got some emotions invested in this entire deal right here. I can tell you with honest sincerity, I love both of these girls, and I love their mother and father and their aunts and uncles. I love my family unconditionally. And when I see things out there that shouldn't be, she shouldn't have died at 30 years old. I'm not positive exactly her years. I heard 32 was how old she was. She shouldn't have died at 32. You know, she got several wonderful, beautiful children that she left behind. The hard part is I can't do nothing about it. You know, the last conversation I had with her was about alternative medicine, because I heard about the struggles with the financials of how much the medicine was costing, and I knew I did some research, and I listened to everybody about, you know, baking soda treatments, or you know, for diabetes, some using some natural cures like cinnamon to regulate your blood sugar, and even hemp seed oil, and all the different benefits of all the different alternative medicines out there. And yet the only ones that they had knowledge of and trust in is the ones that the doctors and the government said were okay. If there's a cure in cancer, it needs to be, and not just in Canada, it needs to be all over the world. If there's a cure in China or Japan, it needs to be all over the world. You need to have those options. You need to know you got choices. I'm going to put one of my family members in the grave one last time. I'm going to do it.
She says, what you have to understand about the Medical Association is to protect us, they can only use approved medicine. Approved medicine costs a large amount of money.
Well, then, by God, we need to break our piggy banks wide open. We need to bust each and every one of our piggy banks and throw our pennies in the bucket and get it approved. Because the day you bury your children is a day you'll never forget. My Uncle Lee, He never recuperated from losing his son. My Aunt Laura, she lost two of her boys. One of them to suicide, one of them to brain cancer. And this is an ongoing deal, not just for my family, but for families all over this world. And when we got the answers, but yet our supposed representatives of this world ain't allowed it to occur.
She says, we're kind of getting down to the wire here, mate, so if you've got a final thought, you might want to take a minute or so to compose yourself and come back with that, eh?
Yeah, you guys, throw your final thoughts out there. Let me catch my breath.
I mean, Tom, there's a lot of good people in the world, and there's a lot of people that work very hard to try and keep us safe and keep us healthy. And maybe we want to kind of focus on them for a little bit. It's quite easy to blame the messenger, so to speak.
Does anybody out there know the last actual killing disease that was actually cured?
We've had that conversation before, you and me.
Exactly. It was polio. And right after the cure, the medical association got together and lost so many billions of dollars, they made a decision that they would never, ever, ever release a cure for another killing disease. They would always try to find a treatment, but never a cure. They have found cures that work, and cancer is one of them. They found it in 1953. They released it as a test, gave 400 doctors that specialized in cancer patients, gave them the medicine for free to give to their patients. In 1958, they did their studies, and they were having a 96% to 98% cure rate of cancer. They immediately combined all of the prescription drug companies, got together, combined their money, and paid lobbyists in Congress to outlaw that particular medicine in the United States. Think about that. It's not, they're not, they don't care about curing you. They don't care if you die. All they want to do is get your money.
Well,
and it's a guy I worked in GSK said to me, worked with in GSK, said, we don't make cures, we make dependencies. Exactly. Because that's how we make money.
Exactly.
Thomas, you got any words of wisdom?
I can't even think of anything right now, but I can guarantee you, if you still want to talk after the show's over, I'm going to be here. So
I appreciate it, and I'll probably take you up on that advice. Look, folks, let me say one last final thing before I got to shut this show down so somebody else can take the streams or whatever. I want you to take a real hard look at the money that's in your pocket. I want you to take a look at that paper dollar bill. I want you to take a look at those coins and throw some of those coins in your laundry with that dollar bill, you know, and just see how they fare. You got money out there doesn't even, it's not even backed by anything of value. It's not even real. It's digitized. It's they want to get you on a card where your money's essentially dots and dashes and ones and zeros. And if you can't understand right now that when you hold a pocket full of dollars in your pocket that you basically hold a worthless pile of trash, and it's not, you can't even exchange it for anything. That should be your first red flag to understand that the representation that you're getting as far as the federal governments of the United States or any parliaments or any governments of this world don't have your best interest at heart. You're being treated like cattle. You're putting your families in the grave. You're dealing with all this kind of stuff. And what point? What point is... What the Sam Harry heck is all that? Somebody just typed in the chat room, who is this racist redneck?
I haven't heard anything, so any bit that says anything about racism, what are we talking about?
I just watched a comment come into the Awake Radio chat room, who is this racist redneck?
Is that Steve or is that Shaziz? Because I'm quite happy about being a racist. I mean, I race all over the place. I'm so busy, I never stop. Maybe it was lost in translation, I don't know, but...
I don't know,
if there's a soapy liberal out there that wants to come in and troll people, good luck, mate, because we don't care what you think.
Really?
We really don't.
I mean, I can't remember a single person just today saying anything that he could even be misconstrued as racism. Are you serious?
Anyway, let's not give this full time to this. We're going over the wire now.
Anyway, folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Only thing I can tell you is you got to love one another. You got to take care of one another. You got to take care of all the communities. It doesn't matter what color, race, religion, or political views out there. We're all in the same doggone boat. And you start poking holes in that boat when we sink, we're all going down together. It's like the USS Titanic, you know, when it got hit by the iceberg, it was indiscriminate. It took down men, women, and children. It didn't care. And that's what we're on right now. We're on the USS Titanic. We're all on it together. And when you destroy that nation over there, it's all coming back. Whatever you do to anybody out there, it's all coming back. If we don't get our act together, if we don't start taking care of one another and being the good caretakers, of this beautiful world that we've been gifted by, whichever creator you believe it, or even if it was an accident, according to the Big Bang, you know. However we got here, we're in the boat together. We got to take care of each other, and I'm tired of burying people, you know. I got love in my heart for 9 billion people. That's how many brothers and sisters I got around the globe. If that makes me a racist, I'm sorry. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there? I'm 37. What? I'm 37. I'm not old. Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're able. We use routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more predictable. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.